Now, we're going to turn to four different passages. And if you don't turn to all four right now, that's totally fine. I'm going to go one at a time with you. But turn to Nehemiah chapter 9. And a lot of times people have the misunderstanding that there are things that are present in the New Testament that are not present in the Old Testament. For instance, somebody would say, well, there's no grace in the Old Testament. It's all just justice and God's right hand. And yet the Bible says in Genesis, of all places, 6, that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. So it is there. It may not always be known as grace. You think, you know, well, the Holy Spirit is not really there, and that's not true. In fact, as mentioned many times, for instance, on Samson, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon Samson, and of all the judges, it came upon Samson more than any other judge, which is interesting to me. David said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So we know that in Genesis 1 that the Holy Spirit was overseeing or a part of creation as the Spirit of God moved on the earth. We know that, or on the creation process. And yet tonight in Nehemiah, of all places, when the children of Israel have been exiled to Babylon for 70 years, and now a remnant has been free and cleared to go back, he mentions the Spirit of God. And I want to look at that tonight. And the several other places, if you want to get ready, in Galatians, Ephesians, and 2 Peter also. I won't give you the reference necessarily, but that's where we're going to go. And I just want to talk about the Holy Spirit tonight and ask the Lord to help us. And I pray that it would be an encouragement to you. I know it was an encouragement to me. I wasn't going to speak necessarily on this passage here a week or so ago. And then the Lord just really impressed upon me the importance of the Holy Spirit and really, to be honest, what kind of a disservice I think the church does to the Holy Spirit of God, especially as individuals. And so tonight, as we read Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 20, then we'll go to Galatians, Ephesians, and then 2 Peter, then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll jump right into our study tonight. But it's good that you're with us, and if you're not here personally, if you're here online, thank you for joining us, and we look forward to when we can see you personally tonight in the coming days. In Nehemiah chapter 9, I'll not go into the whole context except to say that Nehemiah is now building the walls with his entourage of helpers. The Bible says, thou gavest also, in verse 20, thy good spirit to instruct them. Do you see that? Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Now, if you're a Bible student at all, or you've ever heard the story of Israel coming out of Egypt, you know what this is in reference to. Nehemiah is talking about how God has given favor and guided the children of Israel out. And he specifically says, thou gavest also thy good spirit. And then notice what it says, to instruct them, and withheldest not the manna from their mouths. So that's talking about favor or grace, and gavest them water for their thirst. I just read today where Moses forfeited his right to see the promised land because instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock twice. And so as God provided for his people, the Bible says specifically here that he gave them his good spirit to instruct them. Now, because that's in the Word of God, we can also understand that that's part of why he's given us the Holy Spirit of God. So that's where we want to start tonight, so that you can see that God has always, always, always cared for the instruction of his people. Okay? So this is not something new just since the cross. This has been something that God has guided his people by his Spirit since he's breathed life into our lungs. So that was Nehemiah chapter 9. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, shall we? Galatians chapter 5, and then we see here kind of, I guess you could say, the result of the instruction of the good Spirit of God. By the way, he is a good spirit, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Now, the fruit of that Spirit, the fruit of the good Spirit of God, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, that's the same good Spirit of God, let us also walk in the Spirit. That phrase walk is, that we've talked about it many times, is our way of living. It's our continual living, all right? So now we know the result of that spirit. Look, if you will, the next book is Ephesians, right next door. Ephesians chapter 5. And notice in verse 9, now we know that the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 20, thy good spirit. And then we know that the Bible says the fruit of that good spirit. Notice here in verse 9, for the fruit of the spirit, notice this, is in all what? Goodness. It's in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Well, that makes sense, because if he's a good spirit, then what he's going to lead us into is goodness. Now, the reason this kind of struck me is because we have been looking at Galatians 5, where it says, as you have therefore opportunity, do good unto all men, but especially unto the household of faith, doing good. And we talked about really doing good is not a matter of us, but it's a matter of God working in us. And tonight I kind of want to hone in on that a little bit, is it's the good spirit of God that makes us good, not us. It's the good spirit of God that instructs us in the goodness. It's the good spirit of God that gives us or allows us to see the opportunities. And as we learn from him, we'll take more opportunities. But that goodness is not innate of us. It's innate of him. And I want to look at that tonight. Turn, if you will, to the last passage in 2 Peter chapter 1. Almost to the very end of your Bible. Now remember, in Nehemiah chapter 9, it's important, by the way, to do searches like this and to tie verses together. In Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 20, the Bible talks about that good spirit to instruct them. Do you remember that? In other words, it was the Spirit of God that was going to give instruction. And the fruit of that instruction is what we find in the two epistles, one to Galatia and one to the church at Ephesus. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, we're going to see specifically a way that God used the Spirit of God to instruct not just people then, but us today. Look at verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by whom? By the Holy Ghost. So now you see that the author of the very book that we're writing, the very book of Nehemiah where we started, was because of the Holy Spirit of God moving Nehemiah as the good spirit to write what he wrote, so that the truth that God was teaching his people would not remain in that dispensation, but that it would transmute through other dispensations to us. So that if God could teach people in the Old Testament who complained hours after Korah and his household were consumed by the world, okay, by the physical earth, if the Holy Spirit of God could teach them then, and could teach 2,000 years ago Christians who were in this brand new thing called the Age of Grace and this brand new thing called the church, certainly then, and if he could take those people in different dispensations and teach them by his hand what to write so that we could have it today, certainly then, it's within his own power to instruct and guide us into all goodness today. And that's the beauty of the scripture. That's the blessing of the good influence of the Holy Spirit. So let's talk about that tonight for a few minutes. I want to pray one more time here. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Bible. And I thank you, Lord, that we have it. I thank you that it's so perfect. God, I'm so thankful that it's trustworthy, that it's true. I'm thankful, God, that we don't have to wonder what you think about us. We don't have to wonder what happens to us when we die. We don't have to wonder how we got here. We don't have to wonder, Lord, how to live in a home with a wife and children. We don't have to wonder what a church is supposed to be like. We don't have to wonder a whole lot of things in our life, God, because you have instructed us by thy good spirit. And God, for every born-again child of God, we are that temple. And Lord, I pray tonight for every believer that's listening that you would instruct us, that you would help us to take knowledge of the one that you have given to us. And Lord, that we wouldn't so soon forget him, that we wouldn't ignore him, that we would allow him rather to have liberty, to have leadership in our life. Lord, that we would have that fruit that you so wonderfully speak about in your word. Thank you for these listening tonight. I pray that you give us all understanding and ears to hear what your spirit has to say to this church. And I pray that as we go through our daily Bible readings, that we'll be more careful to see where the phrase or the word or the name, the Spirit of God or the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit or thy Spirit shows up. And we'll not only take note of it on page, but God will acknowledge it in our practices every day. Thank you again for loving us, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for us. And thank you for not leaving us alone. And thank you for fulfilling your promise to send us your Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, tonight I pray that you'd guide us by your Spirit. Help me to get out of your way by your Spirit. Help me to be led and filled by your Spirit. So as we learn about you, we'll not only, Lord, become more familiar with the subject, but Lord, we will fall in love with the very God who lives in us. Thank you again for giving us this opportunity. Guide us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've been in a Bible preaching church for any length of time, you've probably heard as much about the subject of the subject of the Holy Spirit as I have, which is a really good thing. It's not bad to hear preaching on the Holy Spirit of God. Because of good Bible preaching, we know that the Holy Spirit of God dwells in our bodies, and we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, according to the Scripture, where the Bible says, which is in you, which ye have of God. We know that. Most of us know that. We know that the Holy Ghost is given to us the moment that we're saved. There's no second dispensation of grace. There's no waiting for having the Holy Spirit live in us after we're baptized. We also know that the Bible teaches us that part of his ministry includes comforting us, that he is the comforter. He's the one that comes alongside. He's the one that comforts us when we're hurting. We also know from Scripture, many of us would recognize the fact that we know and believe that he guides us into all truth. He is the Spirit of truth, and that Jesus said that specifically in John 14:26. We also know that part of his ministry is to convict us when we're wrong. And we also know and believe that the Bible teaches us that he prays for us all along the way. So it's not just a one-dimensional ministry that the Holy Spirit has in us. Rather, it's very diverse. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now those two verses are some of the most comforting verses in all of the Bible concerning the good Spirit of God. And we know those verses, and we can recognize them because we've perhaps read them before. So many of us have learned a lot from the teaching on the subject, and that's good. But I wonder how many of us have done enough thinking about it, or better, applying it. Sadly, the Holy Spirit is the most forgotten member of the Holy Trinity. In fact, Charles Spurgeon said once, and I quote, "Common, far too common, is the sin of forgetting the Holy Spirit." He continued, "This is folly and ingratitude." He said, "He deserves well at our hands, for he is good. He is supremely good." Now think about that. The good influence of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. I don't care if you're 8. I don't care if you're 20, if you're 50, or if you're 80. If you're saved, he lives inside of you. And that's the Spirit of God. Now, let me ask you then, how well are you acquainted with him? I'm not saying how much do you know about him, or if you know you could write everything that you know about him on a piece of paper. I'm saying, how well are you acquainted with him? Do I know him like Nehemiah knew him, as thy good Spirit? And I want to kick off a good study of the third person of the triune God by way of concluding the series on doing good at every opportunity, by speaking about the Holy Spirit of God as the author of all that is good in our lives, of all that is good through our lives. Because if we're going to be one of those Christians who looks for opportunities to do good, the Holy Spirit must serve as that good influence. Now, you understand what I'm trying to get out here. Parents are always looking for good influences in the lives of their children, especially their teenagers. And Christians in general, I think, look for Christians to be around that will make them better Christians. We're always looking for the good influences. We're always trying to spare our families of the negative or the bad influences. But I'm afraid We forget that God, by the way, who is the best influence, we forget that God, who is the best influence, already resides in our hearts. We forget that He already is there. And I believe it's our duty as parents to teach our children and our teenagers how to be influenced by the greatest influencer, by the one who has given us, was given us to do just that. He is our good influence. Now, with that, tonight I want to briefly look at the goodness of the Holy Spirit, and I want you just to see that. Here's my hope for everything that I'm going to say in the next several points. That you will leave here tonight appreciating the one who lives inside of you. That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that these verses that I give you and the statements that I make, that you'll leave here and tonight, maybe before you pillow your head or go off to sleep, that you'll say something like this: God, thank you for being in me. Thank you for giving me the influence that I need to have. Now, see, the end of this for me is, not only did this help me, and I genuinely want to appreciate him more, and I don't want to forget him as much as I do, but I want to be obligated to him. I don't want to just acknowledge the fact that he is good tonight and have a whole bunch of reasons why he is. I don't want to just acknowledge the fact that he's been given to me. But I want to acknowledge the fact that if God gave me that influence, it's because I needed it. Because he knew where my life would lead if I didn't have it. Now, how wise is God for Jesus to say, no, it's incumbent. The word is, it's necessary for me to leave. Because if I go not away, the Comforter's never going to come. And you need him. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. Look, I need to get out of here because I'm living in front of you, and I know that God has something better than that. What could be better than Jesus right in front of you? I know Jesus living inside of you. Now, that's the person that God has put in you. If you're saved, that's the person that lives inside of you. And that influence is necessary. That's a good thing that the Holy Spirit of God says, hey, you shouldn't. Hey, I want you to. Hey, let's just tone it down. Hey, let's change some things. That's a good thing. So I don't want to ignore him. I don't want to forget him. I want to appreciate him. And I think our lives will be fully enriched if we'll allow ourselves not just to learn more and say, yes, I have this knowledge of the third person of the Trinity and I can explain it by all of these isms and asms and all that stuff. No, that doesn't help anybody. But what does help other people is a life filled with that presence and the fruit or the result of that life understanding what the instruction is for and the guidance. And so I want to look at the Holy Spirit tonight, and I want to just talk about his goodness, a good influence. Nehemiah said, thy good spirit. Now, by way of parenthetical statement, just think about that. God gave the good spirit of influence to the children of Israel, and what did they do with it for 40 years? Zero. They did nothing. I just read some of the sharpest chapters in the book of Numbers, and it's amazing to me what they didn't learn. With all that God did physically right in front of them, what they just couldn't get their mind around. They were like a broken record. You just brought us out here to die. You just brought it out here to die. You just brought us out here to die. You just brought it out here to die. It's like on every other page. We have no water. We have no food. You just brought us out here to die. We have no water. We have no food. You just brought us out here to die. You take too much. We're going to do, we don't have, well, you just brought us out here to die. It's amazing. I'm like, oh my goodness. If it wasn't in the Bible, I'd say there's no way they said they're that stupid. There's just no way. And then I look at my life. And then I remember, oh yeah, I've made some of the same stinking, stupid mistakes over and over and over again. Why? Because we've just not taken advantage of the good influence of God. Could we agree tonight before we look at this first point? God is so gracious, and he is so good, and he is so kind and loving to give us exactly what we need always. And what every believer needs is the Holy Spirit of God. That's why he gets it the moment that they're saved, all right? So let's look at this. First of all, let's just think about this. The Holy Spirit, number one, is good essentially. He is good essentially. What does that mean? I think you have this in your notes. He's good because he shares the same attributes of the thrice holy God mixed in purity and grace and truth. He is good at his nature. The average church member's understanding of the Holy Spirit is so vague, it's nearly non-existent. Now, think about what I'm going to say here. What great things are there in the character of God which would not be found in the Spirit? What titles which belong to God are not also applied to him? Because they are one. He is called, for instance, in the Bible, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of Christ. He's called, as we saw in one passage, the mind of Christ. He's called the Spirit of the Lord. He's called the Spirit of adoption. He is the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of liberty. He's the Spirit of wisdom. He's the Spirit of understanding. He's the Spirit of counsel. He's the Spirit of might. He's the Spirit of knowledge. He's the Spirit of goodness. And he is the Spirit of the fear of God. And by the way, this only begins to show just how unlimited he is. Now, whether you knew all of that or not, whether you ever took the titles that he's given that belong to God and that also belong to him, I want you to understand that he dwells in you. That's the God that dwells in you. The Bible says in John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. What a gift that you and I have because we've received Christ as our Savior. The world cannot receive, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Romans 8:9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. The very seal of our redemption rests with the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Not only is he a good spirit, he's good because he's good essentially. All right. Secondly, he's good benevolently. Now, think about your life since you got saved. Think about all the decisions you've made, good and bad. And I want you to understand this point. It's the Holy Spirit that tenderly and patiently bears with us when we're difficult to control. It's the Holy Spirit of God that strives with our rebellious wills to do our own thing, making us alive when we're dead in sin. He's the Spirit of regeneration. It's the Spirit of God that then trains us for heaven as a loving nurse fosters her own child. He guides us and nurtures us. We would do well to note just how generous the Spirit of God is in our life, how forgiving he's been to our actions, how tender he is the patient Spirit of God. You could say it this way, truly his forbearance with us is because of his love for us. Because remember, he's the same. Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. You kind of get the idea that God really wants us to know that. He dwelleth in you, dwelleth in you, dwelleth in you. Jesus said, I will come to you, I will be in you. For if we live after the flesh, we're going to die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, you are the sons of God. How do you mortify the deeds of the flesh? Well, it's right there. All you have to do is be led by the Spirit. When I'm led by the Spirit, the deeds of the flesh die. The more I am led by the Spirit, the more my flesh dies. Does everybody understand that? I mean, it's right there in verse 14 of Romans chapter 8. So when you think of the Holy Spirit tonight, when you think of it, when you open your Bible, when you think of it by way of thanking God for the amazing and unspeakable gift of salvation, think of the good Spirit of God because he's good essentially. Think about the goodness of God and the goodness of the Holy Spirit because of the way that he loves us and puts up with us on a daily basis. How he doesn't give up on us. How he doesn't see us as rejects. How he doesn't see us as failures. He's always the one that comes alongside. He's always the one trying to continually to nurse us and prepare us for heaven. Thirdly, he's good operatively. Operatively. And I want you to write this statement down if you haven't already. All his works are good. All his works are good. You can't be essentially good and do something operationally bad. Do you understand that? Because his character is God's character, he can only do good, which means you can trust him. He's not going to lead you down a wrong path. He's certainly not going to lead you into a lie. He can only lead you into truth because of who he is. Not only are all his works good, but they're good in the most eminent degree. Now, I want you to think about how he's good operationally, because I think you and I take more credit for good in our life than we deserve. Now, let that just sink for a minute. Because Paul said, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no such thing, no good thing. I think we take credit. For instance, I think the Holy Spirit is the one that suggests good thoughts. You don't. It's the Holy Spirit that suggests good thoughts. It's the Holy Spirit that suggests good thoughts about your spouse. It's the Holy Spirit that suggests good thoughts about your family. It's the Holy Spirit that suggests good thoughts about your friends, about your church. It's the Holy Spirit that suggests good things about your boss. You see, that's part of his operation. How can I help them maintain this fruit? How can I help them maintain this life that pleases God? I'll give them something, listen, good to think about. Let this mind be in you. The Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are good, think on these things. Where does that come from? The Holy Spirit of God. He suggests good thoughts. He prompts good actions. You see, sometimes we take credit for the thoughts that we think. Sometimes we take credit for the actions that we do. You don't think of good things to do. He does. You think of selfish things to do. You think of these things. Can someone make me a sandwich? The Holy Spirit will say, if you're hungry, go get it yourself and ask someone else if they would like a sandwich. And for many of us, that's like foreign. Well, isn't that why I have children? So that they could just do all... You see what I mean? We don't... It's the Holy Spirit that says, why don't you go in and help with the dishes? Why don't you go clean your room? Why don't you do what your mother says? I'm trying to help my children out as much as I can here. But the idea is, good doesn't come from me. It can't come from me. So who does it come through? The Holy Spirit of God. When's the last time you said, Lord, thank you for giving me that thought. Thank you for prompting me to write that note. Thank you for putting that person's name on my heart so I would pray. I mean, where does that come from? I will tell you, it doesn't come from me. It doesn't. Who does it come from? It comes from the Lord. You don't think of good things to do. They come from him. Here's another part of his operational ministry. He reveals good truths. Good truths. He's the one who lights up the truth when you read it. He's the one when you say, God, will you speak to my heart as I read your holy word? He's the one that says, there it is. He's the one that says to me, that is you. And I have a wide margin Bible that I do my devotions in. And I can't even tell you how many pages on the side it says something like this. This is me. This is for me. This is my life. It's throughout the Bible. Who does that? The Holy Spirit of God. When you need something, here's the next one. He applies good promises. He's the one who reminds you that the promises of God are true and trustworthy when you're afraid. He's the one that when you need comfort and you go to the Word of God that you get comforted by. It's not the Bible. The Bible is quick and powerful, but who makes it alive? The living Spirit of God. He is the one that quickens us. He's the one that says, here it is. The two that walked with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, the Bible says that when he spoke of him, did not his words burn in us? What happens? That's the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit of God that shines on the truth and says, that's what you need. Don't raise your hand, but maybe there's a few people here or even watching online that in the last week you read something and the Holy Spirit said, stop. I want you just to think about that right there just for a moment. I want you to know that that was put in there thousands of years ago for you today, of all days for me to read, of all days for me to have God say, that's for your heart. That's what he did for you. What a good God. What a great Holy Spirit. Operatively, He applies the good promises. He's the one that reminds me that my faith overcomes the world. He's the one that reminds me that God is working good, even when I don't see it, even when I can't sense it, for good to them that love God. He's the one that says, look, you may feel unlovable to the whole world, or maybe even in your own family, but I will tell you, nothing can separate you from my love. It's Him that does that. You ever take that into consideration? I'm afraid to say that probably most of us don't often enough. We don't acknowledge the fact that it's the Holy Spirit that's operating at that moment. He assists, by the way, in good attainments. What does that mean? Well, when you have goals of being free from sin, He helps you. He's a chain breaker. When your goal is to conquer sin, He's the one that helps you get there. By the way, I don't believe in a 12-step program to break any kind of sin. I believe in a one-step yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that can happen. I believe that the Holy Spirit of God, when I say yes to Him, has the power to do all that God has the power to do. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. That's the Holy Spirit of God. If I have a goal to get into the will of God and to get out of sin, He's the one that helps me. Your desire to be a better spouse, He helps you attain that. Your ambition to win a soul to Christ this year, He helps you in that good. Your target to live by faith in the will of God are all parts of His ministry for you to achieve them. He wants to lead your life. And what we're supposed to do is want Him to lead our lives. Why? Because He knows where we're supposed to go. He knows that way because He knows the will of the Father, and God searches the hearts. And so the Holy Spirit prays according to what is in your heart and the will of God with groanings that cannot be uttered. What a good God. What a good Spirit. What a good influence. What God wants for you, the Holy Spirit is working in you. What God wants for you is what the Holy Spirit is working in you and will work in you for good results to God's glory. Now, let's just think about what I've said about the Holy Spirit working operatively in the lives of believers. Acts chapter 8, verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So Philip ran thither to him and heard him read of the prophet Esaias and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. What's that? That's the Ethiopian eunuch. How did he get saved? Well, just so happens that the Spirit of God told Philip earlier in Acts chapter 8 to leave where he was preaching and go down for one that was in Gaza. So the Bible says that Philip obeyed the Spirit of God and he went to Gaza. Then when he got there, the Spirit said something else. Now there's your man. Go and join thyself unto his chariot. Now think about this. What if he doesn't do that? That eunuch never gets saved. He never gets baptized. He never goes back to Ethiopia. And he never tells anybody else about Christ. Now think about that. Tradition says that he went back and there was an amazing amount of people that believed on Jesus. Why? Because one Christian that said yes. Operationally, you can see it for yourself. The Spirit said unto Philip. Acts chapter 10 and verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Peter has just finished lunch. He's sleepy. He goes to bed. God gives him a vision. That's the one where the sheets come down. And he says, take and eat. And Peter says, no, no, this is unclean. I've never done that. And Peter says, you know, I can't do that. And God says, don't call unclean what I've called clean. And the next thing you know, the door knocks. And these guys say, hey, we're here for Peter. And he's like, what? And the Spirit says to Peter, don't be afraid. These three men are seeking thee. Go with them. Now he goes back. And who does he lead to Christ? Cornelius. And all are the centurion. All the people that were there are all led to Christ. Why? Because Peter said yes to the Holy Spirit of God. Operatively, in the believer's life, I think he speaks all the time. I just think that we don't listen to him enough. Acts chapter 11, verse 12, the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. Acts chapter 18 and verse 5. When Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was, listen, pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. That's just the tip of the iceberg. By the way, what's the precedent? Well, since you brought it up, Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan. 40 days. Now, the fact of the matter is, that means that there is no spiritual good in all of the world which he is not the author and sustainer of. And yet, what do? We say things like, well, there's good in the world. There is good in the world. Listen to me, not without God, there is no good in the world. God is the author of all good. Why? Because man is depraved. If he has learned anything good, it is because the root of what he learned comes from God. We can trace our lineage in this country, politically and governmentally, back to people who believed that there is a God that we should all live under. And that this nation has only ever been good at all because of that foundational belief. Amen. Now, the reality is, we take too much credit for good. We take too much credit for what the Holy Spirit is authoring and finishing in our life. He is the one that is good essentially. He is the one that is good benevolently. And I'm so glad that he is. He's the one that's good operatively. Lastly, he's good officially. What does that mean? Well, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, and such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, certainly I'm not the only one that understands that the Holy Spirit is probably the most ignored part of the Trinity. Would you agree? Probably the one we think the least about. All right? And yet over and over and over and over throughout the Bible, you'll find him referenced. And if you don't find him referenced, for instance, like in the book of Esther, you'll find him moving. Now, whether we're talking about him being good officially, whether as the comforter or the instructor or the guide or the sanctifier, or the intercessor, he fills his office well. He does exactly what he's supposed to do, and each work that he does is loaded with the highest good to the church of God. He works at the behest of our Savior to the glory of our God, and he does it all well. Why is it ever well with your soul? It's only ever well with your soul because of the Holy Spirit of God. Why are you ever rejoice? Because the Holy Spirit of God has given you something to rejoice about. Why are you ever grateful? Because the Holy Spirit has reminded you of the good hand of your God. Those who yield to his influences become good. Why? Because he is good. Those who yield to his influences become good. Those who obey his impulses do good, and those who live under his power receive good. It's all because of him. Now, if that's all true, and I think that we can say emphatically that it is, if that's all true, if he's that good, shouldn't we treat him like it? So let's think about allowing the influence of the Holy Spirit. If you want to really allow this influencer to influence you, let me give you a few thoughts, all right? First of all, be grateful. Just be grateful. God, thank you for your Holy Spirit. You know, whenever I say that, it just hit my mind because I don't know, I'm programmed to think about it, I guess. Whenever I say, God, thank you for your Holy Spirit, I immediately feel so bad for ignoring him. I feel so bad for quenching him. I feel so bad for grieving him. And I think about that because that's acknowledging him in all of my ways. Be grateful. Here's the second thing. Be reverent. If he is God, he's God. That's the Holy One of Israel. That's the covenant God of Adam and Noah and Abraham and Christ and David. All of those. That's who he is. Be reverent. Third, own his power and our need of him. Do you ever say, I need you, Holy Spirit of God? No, we normally say, Lord, I need you. Or God, I need you. Now, I'm not saying that there's not necessarily a big difference, but I think it is a representation of how we think. That we don't say, Holy Spirit of God, I need you right now. Because that's the one that lives inside of me. That's the one that is the comforter. He is the one that guides. He is the one that intercedes. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. How could you not need somebody like that? Number four, seek his aid. Do you have these already in your notes? You don't have them? Seek his aid. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Helpeth our infirmities. Seek his aid. Ask for his help. Number next, endeavor not to grieve him. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Now, the word grieve there in Ephesians 4 and verse, I can't remember the reference. The word grieve means to cause to grieve or offend. When I offend the Holy Spirit of God, I've offended God. I've grieved. I've caused him to sorrow. Now, what would cause him to sorrow? Him leading me into good and me saying, no, I don't want to do good. I want to do evil. That would grieve him. That would certainly grieve him. Him saying, I want you not to do evil. I want you to step away and I want you to go towards something to good. That would grieve him. In fact, the Bible word there is quench, that I've resisted him. So endeavor not to grieve him. You could form a prayer right just out of those five things. Be grateful, be reverent, own his power and our need of him, seek his aid, endeavor not to grieve him. Lord, would you help me not to grieve you today? Would you please? I've heard people say like this, preachers would say, old evangelists would say, I just ask God, God, if I get that, if I start going the wrong way, just slap me up the side of the head. That's just saying, Lord, help me to endeavor not to grieve you. Help me not to grieve you. Spurgeon said, he is so good. The Holy Spirit of God is so good and kind that it is sad that he should be grieved by slights and negligences. So it is said then that the church will never prosper until it more reverently believes in the Holy Ghost. And that's the importance of it. God's given us his good Spirit to instruct us on the road of life. And as we close this week, let's just commit ourselves to his good influence. Lord, I realize why you gave yourself to us to save us. But I realize more importantly why you gave us your precious Holy Spirit was to influence us, to guide us, to instruct us. And in doing that, what's going to happen? I'm going to find every opportunity that comes my way to do good. And I'm going to have it because of thy good Spirit. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you so much for your willingness to forbear. And Lord, I'm so grateful that you don't take your Spirit from us, that you are so long-suffering with us. Lord, as a young child would kick and scream and pitch a fit against the loving nurse, Lord, you just stay with us. And though we grieve you, and though we quench you day in and day out, you still desire and never give up working in us. And you will continue to work until the day we come face to face. Thank you for that. Thank you for your seal. Thank you for always being good. Thank you for the comfort that you bring to our life. Thank you for the understanding that you bring to our mind. Lord, it would be wonderful if you could just take complete control of our body and we never made any more mistakes ever again. That'd be amazing. But Lord, unfortunately, we have a choice and a decision to make every day. And that is to do far more than just acknowledge your presence in our life, but to surrender to it, to take the influence of the Holy Spirit of God and allow it to change how we think, allow us to change how we speak, allow us to change what we do with our life. Father, the Holy Spirit is what changes homes, changes marriages, You change entire churches. God, you changed the book of Acts. You built the kingdom of God because of people who are willing to follow wherever you lead. And I pray that we would be those people. I pray you'd help us to be sensitive to your spirit. And God, I pray that even tonight, as you search the innermost parts of our heart, that if you find things that are there that are unworthy of the body and blood of Christ, that you would help us, Lord, to confess and forsake those things. That you would allow us to be all in. God, what if we gave you everything? And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us be with those that are in infirmity tonight. I think of Miss Franny as she prepares for her surgery on Friday. I pray that you'd strengthen her. Pray that you'd prepare the doctors, give them wisdom. Pray that you would give healing and strength to her, and strength and grace and wisdom to David to help her after her surgery. I pray for Miss Silda tonight, God. And I pray for healing. I pray, Lord, that if you choose not to miraculously heal her, that you would perhaps allow the medicine to heal her. And God, we trust you that you're good. We trust you to comfort these. We pray, God, for the 500,000 people in our country, the families that have been affected by this pandemic. God, people die every day. But right now, Lord, there are people dying because they've contracted a virus with other issues in their life and they've lost their life. And I pray for those families tonight. I pray for our government, God. I pray that you'd please give our president wisdom. I pray that you'd get a hold of his heart and guide him. I pray, Father, that he'd be saved. I pray for our governor. I pray for you to do the same in his life, that you would guide him, that he would be saved. Certainly, Lord, we're not the first people to live with leaders that are heathens, that are unsaved, that have their own agenda. And Lord, though they might act like they have no fear of God, I pray that, Lord, that you would have your way and that your will would be perfect, as it always is, that we would receive it for what it is and live accordingly. And I pray, God, for every Christian in America tonight, that you would wake us up, that you would help us to be influenced by your spirit, because he is seriously a spirit of revival. And I pray, God, that you would revive your church. Pray for people to be saved, for people to be discipled, for people to be, Lord, completely committed to the cause of Christ. And I pray that as you give us good thoughts and as you give us and prompt us in doing good things, that we would recognize that and thank you and praise you for it. Help us to be vessels, Lord, just used of you for your glory and honor. Thank you for our time together. We pray that you'd bless it now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen.